We are starting a series, a new sermon series on the book of Titus. This book is considered as one of Paul's pastoral epistles. Na kung saan ang dahilan po is because naka-address itong liham na ito to someone na may pastoral responsibilities at saka leadership sa loob ng church. Itong liham na ito o letter was written by the Apostle Paul to Titus, a man na kung saan talagang mahal niya and treasures, who have been very useful kay Paul sa gospel ministry, lalong-lalo na po pagdating sa church planting. A while back, si Paul at saka si Titus ay pumunta sa Gentile island or land na ang tawag ay Crete. Okay? Now, yung lugar na Crete na ito is a mountainous island na matatagpuan po sa south mainland ng Greece. Ito ay isang lugar na kung saan ang immoralidad ng lipunan ay talamak, laganap, at katanggap-tanggap sa lahat. In short, yung immorality sa lugar na ito is the norm. Ito yung araw-araw nilang nararanasan at parang wala lang. Ay, nakapatay. Oh. Okay lang yan. Normal lang yan. Mamaya ulit. Hintay mo, 30 minutes. Meron ulit babagsak dyan. Parang ganun ba? Immoralidad. Paul proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ sa lugar na ito. And many came to faith in Jesus Christ that resulted of planting several churches sa lugar na ito. After a short while, Paul commissioned Titus to establish and provide leadership sa Cretan churches na kung saan tinayo. Paul wrote the letter to Titus because of his concern na napakadami na pong false teachers ang lumalaganap at nagki-creep in sa loob po ng church. At sila po ay nagsasabog ng mga makamandag na doktrina sa loob po ng iglesia. And another concern na meron po si Paul dito, yung immoralidad ng kultura ng lugar ay dahan-dahang nai-impluensyahan ang kultura ng church. To address this concern, Paul wrote to Titus and provided a picture of what a healthy church looks like. Okay? So yun po, isa sa mga purposes kung bakit niya sinulat. A church that teaches the right gospel. A church that teaches a right doctrine. A church that is led by biblical, godly leaders. A church that is living a life of godliness. At ang focus ng liham na to, ang focus ng libro na to, is making the gospel of Jesus Christ look beautiful in the life of the church. Napakaganda po ng libro na ito. If you want to look for a book sa Bible that talks about what a healthy church looks like, yun po yun, Titus. In our passage ngayong hapon na ito na binasa ni Ruth kanina, Paul gives this long introduction for a very short verses. Paul gives itong introduction na ito na kung saan to remind Titus, the Cretans, and to us today, kung sino ang lingkod ng Diyos, what he is called to do, and where his hopes should lie. Paul made it clear that God's servant is saved and sent out to share his word to the world and to serve his people. God's servant is saved and sent out to share his word to the world and to serve his people. We have three headings na kung saan dinivide natin yung passage na ito. Number one, a servant's ministry position, first part ng verse 1. O ang posisyon sa ministry ng isang lingkod. Number two, a servant's ministry purpose, second part ng verse 1 hanggang verse 3. Ang layunin ng ministry ng isang lingkod. And number 3, a servant's ministry partner o ang katuwang sa ministry ng isang lingkod, which is verse 4. Umpisa na po natin sa verse 1. Number 1, a servant's ministry position. Basahin po natin ang verse 1. Paul, hinto ko tayo kagad. Yeah. natin, titipirin ho natin itong verse na to. Ano? Paul, simulan natin kay Paul. Now, madalas natin madinig yung salitang o yung pangalang Paul o Pablo. Marami natin naririnig sa Bible, lagi natin nababasa, naririnig natin kinakanta sa mga children's songs, sa Sunday school o sa Friday school. Sino pa si Paul ang katanungan natin? Okay? Si Paul, sa Philippians chapter 3, kung tayo po ay magmabalik-aral, was used to be called Saul. Okay? Siya po ay purong Israelite, galing sa isang prominenteng tribe na ang tinatawag na tribe ng Benjamin. He grew up in a devout Jewish family. Isa po siyang anak ng Pharisee. And dahil siguro ang tatay niya ay Pharisee, na-influensya na rin po siya, at siya rin po ay naging Pharisee. At hindi po siya isang ordinaryong Pharisee because itong Pharisee na ito ay minentor, tinrain ng pinakatanyag na Pharisee sa kanilang time. At ang pangalan niya ay si Gamaliel, na kung saan head siya ng Sanhedrin, na kung saan nakaanib si Nicodemus, which is yung pinag-usapan natin last week. He was obedient to the Jewish laws at saka practices. Saul persecuted, harassed, put Christians to jail, at yung iba, pinapatay po niya. He was a dangerous man. He was an enemy of the gospel. Pero isang araw, habang naglalakad po siya sa roadway to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ humbled him. Jesus Christ regenerated his heart. Jesus Christ saved him from his sins. Jesus Christ transformed his life. The Lord used him to preach the gospel powerfully to the Gentiles and started several churches in Gentile lands. When the Lord changed his heart, he changed his name, and now he has changed his status from Saul, who enslaves followers of Christ, to Paul, the slave of Christ. At sa ganitong paraan niya pinakilala ang kanyang sarili. Tingnan niyo yung verse 1. Paul, a servant of God. This is the only time that Paul addressed himself as a servant of God. Madalas po, Paul, the servant of Christ. Kadalasan po, makikita po natin yung title na servant of God na ginagamit sa Lumang Tipan or Old Testament. Madalas gamitin niya ni Moses, ni Joshua, ni David, at kung sino sa mga series of prophets na kung saan they address themselves as the servant of God or an angel or God addressed them as servants of God, kagaya ng binasa ni Carlos kanina. Servant, or in the Greek, doulos. Doulos ay ang ibig sabihin simply ay slave o alipin. Kaya kung babasahin natin verse na yan, Paul, a slave of God. Now, may dalawang klaseng slave sa Old Testament. Yung unang slave ay tinatawag na temporary slave, at yung pangalan naman ay, of course, kung may temporary, may permanent. So, dalawang klaseng slave. Isang temporary, isang permanent slave. Now, tinawag po siyang temporary slave dahil pansamantala lamang ang estado ng pagiging alipin ng taong ito. After a period of time, ay pinapalaya siya ng kanyang master. Now, bakit siya pinapalaya? Maaari siguro nakabayad na siya ng utang kasi noong time na yon, Jewish law, kapag ikaw ay hindi nakapagbayad ng utang, either ipakukulong ka o mismo ikaw ay magiging alipin at iyong pamilya hanggat mabayaran po ninyo ang inyong pagkakautang. O kaya naman, sila po ay pinakakawalan sa pagkakaalipin kapag umabot sila sa tinatawag na Jubilee Year. Ano po yung Jubilee Year or Sabbatical Year? Now, ang Jubilee Year ho ay may 7 cycles. Ang isang cycle po ng Jubilee Year is 7 years. So, ilang 7 years po yon? 7. So, ilan po lahat yon? 49 years. Pagdating po ng 49 years, Jubilee Year. Hindi ho Jollibee, ano? Baka Jollibee Year yung nasa isip po ninyo. Hindi po Jollibee Year, no? Walang Jollibee Year, okay? Yung Jubilee Year, lahat po ng alipin ay pinakakawalan. Ang mga nabilanggo ay pinakakawalan din. Pinalalaya at lahat ng may pagkakautang ay bayad lahat. Sana may Jubilee sa Dubai, ano? Jubilee Year, Dubai. Wow, talaga naman, talagang tayo masaya lahat. Yan po ang temporary slave. Pinakakawalan sila ka sa conditions na ito. Now, meron din tinatawag na permanent slave. Ang permanent slave o permanenteng alipin ay kadalasan nangyayari kapag maganda o malalim ang relasyon ng alipin at ang kanyang master. No? At dahil dyan, yung slave na ito, pag dumating na sa time na siya'y pakakawalan na, presents himself to his master as a slave for the rest of his life. There are a lot of reasons why it is malalim relationship. Umaari naman masama yung ekonomiya, ayaw nila umalis, wala silang trabaho. So, but most of the case is it's because of a deep relationship that they have with their master. Him and his household or yung kanyang family would love to serve yung kanilang master. In short, this slave is saying, I am committed to my master and I want to serve him for the rest of my life. At kapag ganun ho ang case, what happened is there's an ear-piercing ceremony. An ear-piercing ceremony if yung legalities po ay nangyaring ito na naaprubahan na ng gobyerno yung pagiging permanent slave niya, kukunin ng amo niya ang kanyang slave, ilalagay sa doorpost at bubutasin po yung kanyang tenga dito ho. So that is a mark that is indicating I am willing, am a willing slave to serve this particular master for the rest of my life. Yun po ang pirmahan. Puk. Yun po ko na yun. Now, when Paul says that he is a servant of God, he meant that he is now, ang tawag nga pala ko doon ay bond servant. Doon ho lumalabas yung salitang bond servant. Paul says that he is a servant of God. He meant that he is now a bond servant, a permanent slave of God. Because Jesus bought him by his blood and transformed his life. So a permanent slave means a bond servant from the word bond. Okay? He is forever grateful. Yan po ang puso ni Paul. And by choice, out of gratitude, he now serves his master fully. Joyfully committing his life permanently in the service of the Lord. So Paul is a bond slave, a bond servant of the Lord. As Paul introduces himself as a slave, with great humility, he reminds Titus, he reminds the Cretan Christians, and yes, he also reminds us today. As people who have been bought by the blood of Christ, we are not now not our own. If you have been bought by the blood of Christ, you, my friends, and I are bond slaves of Christ. Calling ourselves servants is not just a title we use to sound humble. It is our very position in front of a God who purchased us with his blood. Paul is using this title to remind us what Christ has done for us on the cross. How we should respond to him. We should be reminded by the Lord's grace. Friends, we must be reminded kung sino tayo noon. Sino ba tayo noon? Na tayo ay dating mga alipin din. Alipin sa kasalanan. Who are we unable to set ourselves free sa bondage na ito? Gusto natin kumawala sa kasalanan, gusto natin huminto sa kasalanan, pero hindi natin magawa. At ang masakit pa ho dito, ayaw natin kumawala kasi nai-enjoy po natin ang kasalanan. At pagkatapos natin i-satisfy ang makalaman nating hangarin, the cloud of guilt starts to dawn on us. And then we start to realize ang ating ginawa. We start to hate ourselves. We start to hate the people around us. And yes, we start to hate God. And worse, some will even hurt themselves in the process. And intentionally hurt their loved ones. Friends, be reminded that we were once slaves to cruel masters, Satan and sin. But But because of the kindness of God, our Master, He did not treat us what our sins deserve, sent His Son Jesus, who took the position of a slave, was born as a human being, humbled Himself by taking a human form. He had been obedient to God the Father in His living and in His dying. He died a criminal's death on the cross as a payment para sa ating mga kasalanan. God accepted itong sacrifice na ito because on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. And we who heard this glorious gospel had been open yung mga hearts natin and mata ng Panginoon, and we have repented from our sins and trusted Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross for salvation. If you're here today and you are still struggling with sin, can a Christian be both struggling with sin as well as non-believers? Yes. But the Christian has a fighting chance because Christ has died for them. Because Christians are no longer under the power of sin. But for those who are non-Christian, wala ko tayong kalaban-laban. If you are here today and that is you, I urge you, friends, repent from your sins. Repent for being the master of your life and turn away. Trust Jesus Christ, making Him the master of your life and for your salvation. If you're a Christian, ngayong araw na ito, ngayong oras na ito, friends, be reminded of God's grace. Be amazed by His grace. That we are no longer slaves to sin. We were bought by Jesus' blood, and so we are now slaves to righteousness. Ang tawag sa atin ay bond servants of Jesus Christ. Mga kaibigan, as bond servants of Jesus Christ, are you willfully, joyfully, consistently, permanently serving Master Jesus in your life? I'm not just talking about serving here in the church. I'm talking about going out that door Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are you willfully, joyfully, faithfully being a bond servant of Christ sa buhay mo? Or maybe, friends, are we serving Master Jesus in our lives? Baka hindi. Kasi po, if we're not serving Master Jesus sa buhay natin, then surely we are serving another master at hindi ito si Jesus Christ. A master who is slowly destroying you. A master who is enslaving you. Si Paul, hindi lamang pinakilala ang sarili niya bilang slave, kung hindi sa verse 1, kung titingnan din natin, pinakilala niya rin ang kanyang sarili bilang an apostle. An apostle could mean one of two things. Now, dalawa ang ibig sabihin ng apostle. May tinatawag na apostle capital A or big A. So, ano yung apostle na capital big A? Ito po yung 12 disciples or 12 apostles. Sila po yung naka-witness ng life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension ni Jesus Christ and was appointed by Christ to go and make disciples. Yan po yung apostles with the big A. Now, meron din na tinatawag na apostle with a small A. And that can be used in a general meaning that applies sa ating lahat mga Kristiyano, na ang ibig sabihin, a messenger who is sent, a messenger who is sent out with authority by Jesus Christ. So, an apostle, pag sinabing apostolic ministry, it's a ministry of being sent out to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, ano si Paul? Well, Paul introduced himself as an apostle. Pero he became an apostle in an unusual way, hindi pareho ng 12 disciples. Yes, Jesus Christ did appear to him. Jesus Christ called him, pero not in a sense na pareho ng disciples or apostles, yung 12 apostles. That's why Paul introduced himself not as Paul, the apostle of one of the 12 apostles, or Paul sent by the apostles. No, he introduced himself as Paul sent by Jesus Christ. When Paul says he is a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, ang sinasabi niya ay he is God's servant who is sent out by Jesus with the authority to proclaim his message. Yun po ang ibig sabihin nun. Like an ambassador, he speaks on Christ's behalf to his people. Malinaw po kay Paul who he is in Christ. Malinaw po kay Paul kung ano ang kanyang purpose in life. Malinaw po kay Paul ang mission niya kung bakit siya nandoon sa mundo na to. He is consistently, willfully, joyfully, permanently committed his life to the mission of the Master. Alam niya ang kanyang kinatatayuan. Sa pagpapakilala pa lang ni Paul ng kanyang sarili, pinapaalalahanan ni Paul si Titus, ang Cretan Christians, pati tayo ngayon, na dapat committed servants tayo ng Panginoon. Dapat po committed servants. Yung loyalties natin ay hindi divided. Ang loyalty natin ay sa Panginoon lamang. Itong liham na ito ay isinulat para kay Tito o Titus. But it was also designed to be read sa church service or sa congregation. Now, isipin mo na lang, nung binabasa ni Tito itong letra na ito or yung liham na ito sa church service nila, may mga Cretan Christians na nakaupo sa kanilang mga upuan na nakikinig nito at namumuhay kamukha ng korap na mundo sa kanilang paligid. Mga nakikinig na Cretan Christians na kung saan namumuhay sa kamunduhan habang binabasa ni Tito ito. At bakit nagkaganon, Pastor? Bakit nagkaroon ng ganitong klaseng pamumuhay ang mga Cretan Christians sa parang kamukha ng mundo? Bakit ganon? Marahil, nakalimutan nila kung sino sila sa Panginoon. Nakalimutan nila ang purpose at mission nila kung bakit sila nandoon. And their purpose of living is to display the beauty ng gospel sa lahat ng aspeto ng buhay nila personally and as a church. They have forgotten their identity in Christ. They forgot about their purpose. They forgot about their mission. They forgot na yung Christianity is linked with their everyday life. Akala nila it's just a Sunday thing or a Friday thing. Mga kaibigan, ito po ang tanong ko. I have series of questions and I want you to engage. I want you to help me out here by listening. Malinaw ba sa inyo kung bakit kayo dinala ng Panginoon sa Dubai? Malinaw ba sa inyo yon? Kung hindi, ano pong ginagawa niyo sa Dubai? Paano mo ginagamit ang oras mo? Anong klaseng relasyon ang binuo o kinakasama mo ngayon? Paano mo ginagastos ang sweldo mo? Saan mo dinadala? Ano ang ugat ng iyong kaaliwan? Anong pinaplano mo sa buhay mo ngayon? Anong pinaplano mo? May plano ka ba sa buhay mo? Mahirap kung wala. Mahirap kung trabaho, sweldo, gastos, party, trabaho, sweldo, gastos, padala. Uwi, bakasyon. Kung yun lang ang plano nyo po, that's not going to cut it. You're not getting younger. And so are your children. Anong plano nyo? Ang plano nyo ba is worth investing on? Kung meron kayong plano, ano itsura ng plano na ito? Malinaw ba kung sino ang pinaglilingkuran mo sa plano mo? Kasi kung ano yung mga pinaplano natin, nakikita kung sino ang tunay na pinaglilingkuran natin, kung sino ang tunay na master natin. Maari kaya, gaya ng mga Cretan Christians, tayo din ay namumuhay sa kamunduhan dito sa Dubai? Hindi kaya? Gaya ng Cretan Christians, nalimutan mo na ba, nalimutan ko na ba ang layunin kung bakit ka dinala ng Diyos dito? Mga kaibigan, kapag tayo po ay namumuhay taliwas sa ating pananampalataya kay Kristo, nangangahulugan. Ang nangangahulugan niyan ay nalilimutan na natin ang layunin kung bakit tayo niligtas ng Panginoon. Kung bakit kanya dinala dito. At yan ay bigyan siya ng kaluwalhatian. Yan ay i-enjoy natin siya magpakailanman. As an individual and as a church, we are called and sent by God to display His beauty, to display His glory to the watching world. And we do this by not serving any other master. At hindi ito nakalimutan ni Paul. Hindi niya nakalimutan na he is a servant sent on a mission by God. Hindi niya nakalimutan ang purpose ng mission na ito. Ano ba ang purpose ng mission mo na ito? At ano ba yung sinasabi dito ni Paul na ang purpose ng kanyang mission? Well, that's number two. Tingnan po natin yung number two, which we would see in the second part of verse one. A servant's ministry purpose. If you consider yourself a servant of Jesus Christ, then you must zoom into this kasi ito ang reason kung bakit po tayo naglilingkod at dapat maglingkod. In verse 1 or second part ng verse 1 hanggang verse 3, makikita natin na si Paul clearly states his purpose and aim in ministry. Malinaw na malinaw po yan. At mayroon tatlong aims, purposes si Paul sa ministry na to. Unang-una, okay? Ang hold on. Ayan, nagkabaliktad yung notes ko. Unang-una, titignan nyo sa verse 1. For the sake of the faith of God's elect. Yan ang unang kanyang aim. Yan ang unang aim niya. For the sake of the faith of God's elect. Paul's ministry exists for the faith of God's elect. Na, ano ibig sabihin po neto? Ang layunin at hangarin ni Pablo sa gospel ministry na pinagkatiwala sa kanya ay para sa mga pinili ng Diyos. Or sa kanyang hinirang, o kay God's elect. Now, his desire that they would come to a saving faith to Jesus Christ as he boldly, faithfully preached the gospel. Yun ang kanyang hangarin, na in hopes na yung mga hinirang ng Panginoon ay tanggapin siya bilang Diyos at tagapagligtas. In short, Paul labors in sharing the gospel in order to see God's chosen people believe and trust savingly in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Now, nilinaw ni Paul na hindi ang preaching niya ang source ng pananampalataya ng kanyang tagapakinig. Hindi po ang preaching niya yung source ng kanilang faith. Ang source ng kanilang faith sa verse na ito is God. If you would like to look into that. Because God is the one who saves. Praise God. Praise God na hindi nakasalalay sa atin na tayo maliligtas. Sa Diyos, nakasalalay ang kaligtasan ng tao. Ang pinakadahilan, pinakaugat, kung bakit nilagay nila ang pananampalataya nila kay Jesus Christ ay dahil sila'y pinili ng Panginoon bago pa nilikha ang sanlibutan. Ang tawag po dyan ay yung doctrine of election. Doctrine of election. I believe that election from the Bible was the eternal purpose of God which He graciously planned before the creation of the world to choose some people to be regenerated and to be saved. Not because may nakita po siyang pwedeng gawing kabutihan ng mga nilalang niya, kung hindi ginawa niya yung pagpili na yun in accordance sa kanyang sovereign good pleasure. Let me show you some verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Kailan po nangyari ito? Kailan nangyari ang pagpili? Before creation. Before time. If you want, you can look also sa verse 1 and yun din ang context nun. That we should be what? So, before the foundations of the world, pinili ng Panginoon na maging ano tayo? That we should become holy and blameless before God. that God would sanctify us, that God would cleanse us from our sins. It was already decided. In what purpose? Bakit niya ginawa yon? Out of love. You see that? Out of love. Out of love, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. For what purpose? Why did He do this? Verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. It is for the praise of His name. It is out of love na ginawa niya ito. In the Old Testament, God chose the nation of Israel. Ganun din ang reason. Out of love. Not because there's something impressive na may ginawa silang kahanga-hanga o kabanalan sila. Out of lahat ng mga nagsasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyos, ang pinili niya isang nation. Israel, Abraham, ang kanilang ninuno. And I'd like to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Ito ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa Israel. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you. Hindi yun ang dahilan, dahil marami kayo. For you were the fewest of all people. Napakakunti nyo nga. Tignan niyo verse 8. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers. God chose us out of love and His good pleasure. Dahil kung tayo lang, we will never love God. The fallen nature of man is not to love God. The fallen nature of man is to love himself and treat himself as the master ng kanyang buhay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love. Bakit? Bakit tayo? Ba't natin? Ba't may kaabilidad tayo mahalin ng Diyos? Because He first loved us. He initiated because we will never initiate. Never. The doctrine of election teaches us that God is the only one who can save. Because no one can save themselves from their sin. Walang kayang magligtas na kanilang sarili sa kanilang kasalanan. God is the one who chooses because no one will choose Him. No one. They would choose a God out of their own imagination. A God that is not biblical, but a God that is worldly. We want a God who will be like a genie na ibibigay lahat ang gusto natin kahit kasalanan ito. That's the type of God we want. John 15. 16. God did the choosing. You did not choose me. Jesus talking to his disciples sa time na to. Very applicable to us right now. You did not choose me, but I chose you. From the mouth of Jesus, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. Paul's ministry, responsibility, and purpose is for him to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that those God has chosen will repent from their sins and put their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. Ang trabaho po niya ay ihayag ang mabuting balita para sa mga hinirang ng Panginoon kapag narinig, they will respond in repentance and faith. God's sovereignty over all elements and events and yung tinatawag na man's responsibility. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Though these two appears to be irreconcilable to each other, pero totoo po yung dalawang yon and they fit together. Friends, ito ang dahilan kung bakit aggressive si Paul sa pag-share ng gospel. Because he knows wala sa kanya ang sagot ng kaligtasan. Nasa kanya ang mensahe ng kaligtasan. He knows when he shares the gospel, it will not return void. He knows when he shares the gospel, it's not because may kapangyarihan siya magligtas. He knows that God will save His people from their sins. You remember the Christmas story? Yun ang reason, that's why sinabi ni Angel, He will save His people. from their sins. Not everyone. Because not everyone will believe.
Pastor, kung ganun pinili na ng Panginoon, huwag na tayo mag-share. Total, pinili na naman eh. Para saan pa yung mag-share ka ng gospel?
I'll give you three short reasons. One, we will never know kung sino sila. Yun ang problema. We never know kung sino yung elect. We'll never know. Sabi ni Charles Spurgeon, if all of God's elect has an E on the back of his neck, I will focus their ministry on them. The point is, we don't know. We don't know kung sino sila. That's why the gospel call is for everyone. We share the gospel from every tribe, language, and ethnicity. We share the gospel to everyone. We share the gospel. Second reason, because Jesus commanded it, Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Because it's commanded by Jesus. And third, because the only means for the elect to be saved is for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Friends, when was the last time you shared the gospel? John Piper gives a comment pagdating sa Great Commission. And sinabi niya, there are three things that we can do with the Great Commission, which is yung sharing the gospel. One, sabi niya, go and share the gospel to the nations. Two, ang pwede mo rin gawin, send those who wants to go out and share the gospel to the nations. Or third, be disobedient. Huwag niyang sundin. Secondly, he goes on to say that he is an apostle. Tignan niyo yung verse 1 ulit, sa last part. For the sake of their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. In short, ang sinasabi ni Paul dito na ang aim din ng ministry niya bilang servant and an apostle is to teach God's people truth of God's word, hindi para maging well-informed. Yun ang purpose of Paul. I'm teaching hindi para kayo maging well-informed. I'm teaching doctrines and the gospel hindi para lalong tumalino kayo sa salita ng Diyos at maghanap kayo ng debate. I'm teaching you this para hindi lalo kayong malaman ang sekreto kung paano yumaman or paano gumaling. Hindi yun ang dahilan kung bakit ako nagtuturo para kayo yumaman at gumaling. Hindi yun po ang dahilan why Paul teaches. Mga kaibigan, ito ba ang mga dahilan kung bakit gustong-gusto mo madagdagan ang kaalaman mo sa Diyos? Para ikaw maging tanyag? Para ikaw makilala? Para ikaw ay manalo sa mga debate? Hindi po ito ang layunin kung bakit natin kailangan matuto ang salita ng Diyos, mapag-aralan. Hindi po ang dahilan kung bakit natin tinuturo ang salita ng Diyos. Ang gusto ni Paul ay turuan sila ng katotohanan na salita ng Diyos upang malaman nila kung paano sila mamuhay ng maka-Diyos. Yun po layunin, mamuhay ng may kaaya-aya sa harapan ng Diyos. Friends, malaki ang connection between theology, sound theology, and godly living. We cannot live the Christian life if we're not Christians, real Christians. We cannot live the Christian life if we're not following, if we do not believe the truth of God's Word. Ang ministry goal ni Paul is the saving faith of God's people. Kaya siya nagsishare ng gospel. Second, ang ministry goal ni Paul is for God's people na mamuhay ng maka-Diyos. That's why he's teaching. Then the truth of Scripture. Punta tayo sa third, verse 2. Ito ang kanyang hopes kung bakit niya ginagawa ito. Ito ang kanyang hopes. In hope of eternal life, which God who never lies promised before ages began. Ito po ang motivation ni Paul kung bakit niya ginagawa ito. This is the motivation of Paul why he is laboring for the gospel. The motivation why Paul is sharing the gospel. This is the motivation for their Christian living. Yung hope of eternal life. This gives Paul, the apostles, the early Christians, hope in this broken world. Because there is nothing in this world that we can be hopeful about. Or hopeful for. Because there is another world that is far better than this world, and that is to be in the presence of God in the heavenly places for eternity. That is a better place. Paul strongly believes this because he anchors his hope on God who never lies. If God says, if you put your trust sa akin, I will save you, I will cleanse you, I will set you free, you are coming with me in heaven. He never lies. People need to hear this hope, friends. And where do we hear about this hope? Well, we see that in verse 3. At the proper time in His Word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God. We hear the message of hope in the preaching of God's Word. It is through the faithful preaching of God's Word that people are given real hope, mga kaibigan. It is through the preaching of God's Word sinners come to hear the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is through the preaching of God's Word that we learn to live a godly life. It is through the preaching of the Word of God one is confronted by their sins. It is through the preaching of the Word of God that we are trained for godliness. It is through the preaching of God is through where He speaks to us. It is through the preaching of the Word of God we get to know God and His amazing grace. Friends, it is through the preaching of the Word of God one can truly find hope. Friends, what did you come to hear in church today? What are you expecting to hear from the sermon today? Funny jokes? Impressive programs? Are you expected to be entertained? Teachings on how to get rich? Teachings how to get to be successful, to be famous, gumaling ang iyong karamdaman, o paano makakabayad ng utang, yung ba ang gusto natin madinig sa pulpit? Friends, kaluluwa ninyo ang nakasalalay dito. Kaluluwa ko. If we're not serious in the preaching of God's Word, we are entertaining people to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. A servant's ministry position. Alam ni Paul kung anong position niya sa harapan ng Panginoon. A true servant's ministry purpose is for the glory of God. Number 3 and last. A servant's ministry partner. Ang katuwang sa ministry ng isang lingkod. Verse 4. To Titus, my true child in common faith, grace and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. Here Paul introduces to us the recipient o yung tagatanggap ng kanyang liham. The letter that the church planter na kung saan tinanggap. This is Titus. He is a Greek na naging Christian who had faithfully served and traveled with Paul sa lahat ng kanyang gospel ministry sa mga churches. He was a huge help pagdating po kay Paul, pagdating sa pastoral assistance. Sa lahat ng mga mahihirap na church kagaya ng Corinthians, siya ang sinasalang ni Paul. And guess what? Crete is a very difficult church. Diyan, tinapon ulit siya yung parang rest back ni Paul pagdating sa mga difficult churches. Paul here speaks tenderly kay Titus. Anong tawag sa kanya? Calling him son in the common faith. Most probably, Titus came to faith in Christ sa ministry ni Paul. Thus, make Paul yung kanyang spiritual daddy or spiritual father. Okay? This is a beautiful metaphor how God relates us, how God relates to us, to Him, and to one another. It is a family language. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, from enemies of God, we are now adopted children. Jesus is now our elder brother. Kuya na natin siya. God is now our Father. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, we are now brothers and sisters in Christ. So this greeting is fitting because of the relationship that they have in Christ. Magkakamag-anak spiritually. As mentioned, Crete is a very difficult place to start a church. Crete is a very difficult church to lead because the people there had accepted immorality as kanilang norm. You could have imagined Titus teaching people to love their enemies. At tinutuloy pa rin nila yung nakipag-away sa kanilang kaaway. You could have imagined Paul teaching, be faithful to their spouses, tapos nangalo niya pa rin sila. You could imagine Titus saying, don't take revenge because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Treat your slave as your brother. Turn away from the things they put their hopes on and hope only to Christ for salvation. You could have imagined yung mga turo ni Titus dito sa gantong kabigat na, gantong ka-immoral na church na ito, yung lugar na ito. You could have imagined the rejection, the beating, the imprisonment, the humiliation that Titus had gone and going through. He's probably tired, discouraged, terrified, lonely, maybe felt alone sa ministry, and so tempted, siguro, to abandon the ministry. FYI, siya lang po ang mag-isa. And then Paul, this is the sweet part, Paul writes to him and said, Titus, my true child in a common fate. You could have imagined what comfort that gave Titus. Paul is saying, Titus, hindi mo matatagpuan ang tunay na comfort, encouragement, and strength sa congregation mo. Hindi mo matatagpuan yan sa circumstances na kinalalagyan mo. Hindi mo matatagpuan yan sa kultura no, kung nasaan ka. Matatagpuan mo ang inyong encouragement, ang iyong comfort, ang iyong strength sa Diyos lamang. Yun ang sinasabi ni Paul. Kaya siya binate ng grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Well, bakit? Why is that comforting? Kasi dito nagsimula lahat. Dito nagsimula ang kanilang kaligtasan because of God's grace. He has now had peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Dito nagsimula ang kaligtasan, Titus. He's reminding him. Ito din ang dahilan, Titus, God's grace and peace. And listen to this. Kung bakit magpapatuloy ang gawain nyo. Because of God's grace and peace. Crossroads, this church ay magpapatuloy because of God's grace and peace. Paul is not only a spiritual father, but also a partner in the ministry. Friends, this is what family and partners in the ministry do. It is not easy to become a servant of Christ in Dubai. Hindi madali maging Kristiyano dito sa Dubai. Sari-saring tukso, sari-saring problema, sari-saring pagkukutsa. We need to encourage and counsel each other in the Word. That's why we come together to encourage each other in the Word. Kasi sugatan ang Kristiyano by the end of the week. If hindi mo nararamdaman yan, baka namamanhid ka na o bumibigay ka na. We remind each other of the gospel. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. That's family. That's partnership. Walang iwanan. Those who have tasted the grace and love and mercy of God through Jesus Christ will be compelled to love and serve God. You will be compelled to love and serve one another. And they will do this not out of obligation or compulsion, but out from a heart that is filled with gratitude. Gospel gratitude. And this makes God's, and this marks God's servant, because God's servant is saved and sent out to share His word to the world and to serve His people. Tayo manalangin. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you pa sa mga examples na iniwan ni Paul. Opening pa lang ng letter ito, pero binusog nyo na kami. Thank you for Titus. May we have a deeper understanding as a church of the truth of your word that will lead us to godliness. May we get to know you more as a church so we can love you more. We pray that we would be a people that is heralding the truth of your word. Continue to hope on you for our sure and complete joy and comfort for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.